Laura.com. From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Canoy, and this is The Exchange. Today, our Socrates Cafe series continues, and the question we're examining this hour is, should race matter? The Socrates Cafe is a once-a-month event on The Exchange, where we ponder life's big questions, and sometimes the smaller ones, too, past programs and look at what is success, and what is love? There are no right or wrong answers in our cafe. Instead, we express our beliefs, and then poke at them, prod them, explore them, by asking questions, and then more questions. This month's topic of should race matter seems highly relevant, given the Democratic presidential nomination contest. There's been endless discussion over how strong the fact of skin color has been when voters make their choices. Race also comes up frequently when it comes to college admissions and scholarships, with a perennial dispute over whether minority applicants should get preferential treatment or consideration. It's also often part of our debates over criminal justice. For example, in New Hampshire now, there's a debate as to whether a black man accused of killing a white police officer could get a fair trial in this largely white state. Our guest and guide for the Socrates Cafe series is Chris Phillips. Chris is founder and executive director of the nonprofit Society for Philosophical Inquiry, and the author of several books, including Socrates in Love. More than a decade ago, he got the first Socrates Cafe study at a coffee shop near his home in New Jersey. The idea took off, and today there are more than 500 Socrates Cafes around the world. Chris joins us this morning from his home studio in Williamsburg, Virginia. The phone number for you to join us is 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. And Chris Phillips, a big welcome back here. Good morning. Chris Phillips, can you hear me in there in Williamsburg, Virginia? Good morning, Chris. Let's see, I'm not hearing Chris Phillips. I want to remind you that it's the Socrates Cafe today on The Exchange, and Chris will be with us in just a moment. You can give us a call. How would you answer the question, should race matter? 1-800-892-6477. 1-800-892-NHPR. You can get an email into the address is exchange@nhpr.org. While we're waiting to hook up with Chris, we want to go to someone who turned in on this issue on our Public Insight Network. We're turning now to Glinda Allen. She lives in Hooksett, New Hampshire. Glinda, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us, Glinda. And you wrote to us on our Public Insight Network that as an African-American woman and a mother, you and your son had experienced a fair bit of racial profiling in Hooksett. What do you think about this issue? Should race matter, Glinda? What are your thoughts?
They should matter. I wrote in and talked about, I've been here since August of 90, and the first experience that I have of a racial incident was I was walking to work, and this truckload of guys, called me the N-word and told me to go back to where I came from.
Wow.
And I tell you, it was frightening, and this was in the 90s. And my son has since graduated, but 3 to 4 years ago, he was told to get back to the bus where he belonged. And I assure you, my son waited to tell me this, but he did address this with his officer, because he attended the West High School ROTC unit. And it was them that helped resolve that situation, because I was pretty ticked off myself. And my son knew not to probably tell me at the time. I'm just really tired of my experiences being minimized, as if though I'm experiencing them for no reason, or it's all in my head.
You know, since this is a Socrates Cafe, Glinda, it's where we kind of explore questions by using more questions. So if I can do that with you now, is that all right?
That's fine.
When you say race should matter, it's interesting because somebody might always expect you to say race shouldn't matter and people should treat you equally, but you say it does. How come?
Well, I believe that it does matter because when you start, I remember people used to say, when I see you, I just see a person. Well, you know what? If you're saying that to me, you don't see me because I am a black person. I am an African American person. Yes, we don't have to say, okay, that's all that I am, but let's get that out there first. Don't act like that's not an issue because it is an issue. And a lot of times, I don't want to, be the center of attraction, but that's the way it is for whatever reason. And no, everybody should get along. And am I a racist? Of course not. My dad always told me, my dad had crosses burnt in his lawn. He never taught me hate, ever. He said, everyone is the same. He said, we may not look exactly the same, but he said, our insides, we have the same heart. We have the same makeup inside of us. We can all be good. We can all be bad. But we shouldn't be judged on other people's merits.
So should race matter? You're saying yes, Glinda, because when people pretend it doesn't matter, they're ignoring your problems.
That's right, and that's when it becomes a problem.
What do you think, Glinda, about the question, do we ever get to the point where race really doesn't matter? Is that possible?
Oh, it's possible, definitely. But it won't be possible until we acknowledge that there are significant differences in some cultures. Nobody is ever culturally competent, but I think it's important that you try to learn about other people's cultures because that's the only way that we're going to bring everyone together.
Well, Glinda, we're going to explore this hour, and I really appreciate you kicking it off with us this morning. Hope you can listen to the rest of the program.
Okay, I will.
Bye-bye, Glinda.
Bye-bye now.
She joined us on our Public Insight Network. We're exploring the question, should race matter today in our Socrates Cafe? And our executive producer, Keith Shields, recently posed that question to 3 college students, one black, one Hispanic, and one white, at the University of New Hampshire, Manchester.
My name is Joe Thomas. I'm a student here at the University of New Hampshire, majoring in communication arts. I will be 60 in July, and I'm African American. Race shouldn't matter, but it does. Race is a social construct, and society defines who we are. It's important to me because if I were going to mentor an African American woman, I would want her to know that it's okay to be black, that you can achieve, and that you should be on an even playing field with your counterparts. And I think race should not be overlooked. That's what makes this world what it is, and we're so diverse that we need to learn about each other, and I just think it would be a much healthier environment for all of us.
I'm not in an all-white environment is that as a white person I can feel very nervous and afraid to offend somebody by mentioning the difference. I never know
term. Hopefully it's going to go by way of the dinosaur and simply fall into the background, and then it'll be more about us as individuals, us as a society coming together and making it work, not systematically trying to use discrimination to combat discrimination. It should just be all of us working together to find, you know, the best leaders, the best fit for the job, whoever you are.
Our talk with Phil Hernandez, Joe Thomas, and Kirsten Hildman was produced by Exchange executive producer Keith Shields. It's our Socrates Cafe series today on The Exchange. Each month we pick one question and examine it using the Socratic method, opposing more questions. Again, this month the question is, should race matter? We go now to someone else who talked about this issue on our Public Insight Network, Reggie Blanchett from Manchester, New Hampshire. Reggie, you wrote that you have a background in this, being a black and white couple. Tell us a little about that.
Okay, good morning. Yeah, my wife and I have been married for almost 31 years now. We married in the 70s. We thought at the time that race really was not an issue until a number of events have happened to us to show that it was actually very much an issue. But we had met a couple who was also black and white. They had married in the early 50s, and they had told us at the time that what we were doing was really a political statement.
And Reggie, I'm going to cut you off for a break, but we're going to finish up this discussion after a very short break, and Chris Phillips, our co-host of Socrates Cafe, will be back with us as well. So hold on, Reggie, and you can call in too with your thoughts on Should Race Matter, 1-800-892-6475. And support for New Hampshire Public Radio comes from your members and from Claude Hill Construction, providing professional construction services for commercial projects throughout New Hampshire for over 20 years. ClaudeHill.com. And Spalding Youth Center, helping children and youth with autism, neurological, and behavioral challenges achieve their full potential. Online at SpaldingYouthCenter.org. More of our Socrates Cafe on The Exchange on New Hampshire Public Radio, Menatan on the Diane Lean Show, new allegations about Iran's role in Iraq. We have to weather this afternoon, partly to mostly sunny statewide, slight chance of showers in the North Country, highs today upper 60s to lower 70s. For tonight, it'll be clouding up. Lows tonight, lower 30s north, lower 40s in the south. Tomorrow, turning partly to mostly sunny, highs mid 60s to lower 70s. This is NHPR. This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Canoy. Today on The Exchange, it's our Socrates Cafe series, where each month we pick one question and examine it with our guest Chris Phillips. This month we're asking, should race matter? You can give us a call at 1-800-892-6477. We're also taking your photos on this question. If you have one that you think tackles this issue, should race matter, you can submit it on the Socrates Cafe webpage at nhpr.org. Again, the number here on The Exchange, 1-800-892-6477. Reggie Blanchett has been with us. He is in an interracial marriage. And Reggie, welcome back. And also Chris Phillips, our guest and co-host for the Socrates Cafe, is with us. And Chris, good morning.
Good morning.
And let me just bring you in, Chris, for a moment, and then we'll both go back with Reggie. We've been in the series for a couple months now. But remind us just real quickly, Chris, what is the Socratic method? What are we trying to do here?
Well, Socratic method is meant to inspire us to challenge a lot of our underlying assumptions and to further deepen and broaden our lenses in ways in which we look at a question like this, maybe in very different ways than we typically would, and hopefully leaves us with a greater sense of understanding of ourselves and others. Because Socrates said, at the very least, the unexamined life is worth examining, and that's what we try to do with Socrates Cafe.
And how is this done in this context we're in right now, Chris, a live radio comment program?
Well, is Reggie still there online?
Yes, yes. Yeah.
Well, Reggie, I want to ask you, what race do you consider yourself?
White.
Is there such a thing as the white race?
No, I think we're all different shades of, looking at our children, for instance. We have three children, and all of them, are a different shade to their color.
Uh-huh.
It's just the way society puts us in different categories. So if I'm to enter a census, I'll put white, because, I was supposedly born white.
If I asked you what ethnicity are you, what would you say?
I'd say I'm French.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Cultural is more important than color, I think.
So if I asked you which one matters to you most, race or ethnicity?
Ethnicity.
Uh-huh. And your wife, what race do you consider your wife?
Her skin is brown, but she'd say she's St. Lucian, because she's from the West Indies.
So she's not African-American?
No, she's not.
So what does that say about this question, should race matter? We talk about black,
yes. Now, should race matter? No, I don't think so. Does it? I think yes, it does.
I think I'm also wondering if our usage of the word race is distorted.
We see it in one context, and there's many other contexts outside of that. Go ahead, Reggie.
I think view of race, or the definition of race, is kind of distorted. Especially now, with a lot of interracial marriages, there's been such a mixture of young people that have come about.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them vocal about their cultural and their racial identity.
Mm-hmm.
My own children, actually, they're strongly about their culture, both of their parents' cultures. And that's more important to them than race.
Mm-hmm.
Although we have a lot of discussions about race, obviously.
Reggie, we got a couple postings and emails on it. Someone asked you, what box do your kids check off on that Census Bureau form? A lot of people have an issue with that.
I don't think they check any box.
Really?
Yeah, I know my son does not check any box. I'm not sure if my daughters check any box also.
And I got one last question for you, Reggie. I asked Linda this earlier. I said, do you ever foresee a society where race doesn't matter? Do you feel that that's any time in the future? Your future?
No, I don't think so.
No.
And our election right now, I think, is proving my point. When Isabel and I first got married, we really thought we were going to change the world. We thought, that people would see our love and would just say race doesn't matter. 30 years later, this is the kind of thrown in our face oftentimes.
Real interesting. Reggie, thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
That's Reggie Blanchett from Manchester, New Hampshire. He contacted us through our Public Insight Network. You can call us at 1-800-892-6477. 1-800-892-NHPR. It's the Socrates Cafe today on The Exchange. The question we're examining this month, should race matter? Chris Phillips, I want to turn the tables on you for just a moment, if I could, before we go back to our callers. And just, I'll play Chris Phillips a little bit, if I could, be the Socratic questioner. What do you think, Chris? Should race matter?
Well, I think that it does matter whether it should or shouldn't. And then I have to ask myself, well, in an ideal world, should it matter? I live in Chiapas, Mexico, part of the year, and I hold a lot of dialogues with indigenous groups there. They believe that you are not automatically born into the human race, that you have to demonstrate through acts of compassion your humanness. So to them, it does matter, but you're not automatically qualified, that it's through your words and deeds and acts that someone judges whether you are of the human race or not. It's just not a matter of physical traits. I know my ethnicity matters to me. I'm Greek. I recently applied, in fact, just last week, for dual citizenship with Greece because my heritage means so much to me. Our baby, Calliope, was named after my Greek grandmother. I know that when the time comes for her to fill out college application forms, my wife said to me, because it's based on the mother, that my wife is Mexican, and so she will check for Latina, even though her skin is really white. So how much does the skin color play a factor in race? And sure, if so, is it rather bizarre?
Well, let's go to our callers again, Chris. Lots of people who want to add in on this. And to your Carver, Cynthia is with us. Good morning, Cynthia. You're on the Socrates Cafe. Welcome.
Good morning. My answer, generally, to the question is yes. How can it not matter? And then I have a question for you. What do you mean by race? You just said ethnically.
heritage, since you said how could it not matter? What do you mean by that?
It is what makes you, not it's what makes each one of us, whatever our heritage is, from whatever gene pool, we are a culmination in this one individual being of all those things. I think that, you know, to me, to narrow race discussions to, a political campaign is absurd. I think,
so what is race made of? Gene pool, what else?
Just the fact that people can make that automatic assumption has been quite
quite insulting, and it certainly burst a lot of bubbles about how we looked at things.
Well, we thought of it at times. I don't think we thought of it as insulting. We just thought people were somewhat ignorant and did not have an open mind about race in general. We would consider that both these white women could have.
Is there anything we can do, if race is going to matter whether we like it or not, is there anything we can do to dispel that type of ignorance about race so that when people look at us, look at skin, that's not their only way of determining what our race is?
I think the biggest problem we run against is preconceived ideas. My kids are now teenagers, and I can tell you many a time, they would come home and say we were stopped by the police. And they looked at us, they asked us questions, and they let us go.
Shake, I have one more round. Sorry to interrupt you there. I have one more question for you, so don't hang up. Stay on the line, because I want you on the cafe for another minute, but we are going to go to a short break. I want to remind everyone that the number for you to call in on the Socrates Cafe this morning is 1-800-892-6477, and this is The Exchange on NHPR.
This is New Hampshire Public Radio. Support comes from your members and New England College School of Graduate and Professional Studies, offering a graduate program in marketing management beginning this fall. Information at nec.edu. MPSNH, supporter of Breathe New Hampshire, committed to eliminating lung disease and improving the quality of life for those living with lung disease. Information at breathenh.org. Good morning, it's 9:40. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kinoy. Today on The Exchange, it's the Socrates Cafe, where we examine a new question each month with our guest, Chris Phillips. This time, it's, should race matter? And we want to hear your thoughts. You can call in at 1-800-892-6477. And after the program ends, we want to keep the conversation going. For the rest of the month, you can submit your thoughts online. Go to the Socrates Cafe page at nhpr.org. Post your comments, respond to others who've already posted. You can even send photos if you'd like. Again, it's nhpr.org. And Chris, just before the break, we were talking with Sheikh from Nashua. Sheikh, you said you described yourself as a black person from Senegal who married a white woman from Germany. I just have one last question for you, Sheikh. This question of should race matter? How would people in Africa address that question? What would they say?
They do say that it does matter because we were French colony for a long time. And the French who were in Senegal had privileges that the locals didn't have.
So it really mattered.
And it did matter. And kids looked at French people, the white people, as really people who had more than the locals did. So I honestly do believe it does matter. It shouldn't matter. But if we really dig deep and look at it, it does matter, no matter where we are.
Well, Sheikh, it's great to hear from you. Thank you for calling in.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. And let's go to Nashua again, where Jerry joins us. Jerry, you're on the Socrates Cafe. Go ahead.
Good morning. Hi. I just wanted a few notations. I was brought up to be very understanding that race did not quite matter. And I think, of course, upbringing has a ton to do with it, to negate the stereotype or the assumption, if you will, that unfortunately a lot of your guests have gone through with their children and such. But I was in a 7-year relationship with a Puerto Rican gal that, because I didn't quite experience her family, because her family was not local, ignorantly, on my part, I didn't quite understand that she was Puerto Rican, that she was of a different race. And I think I would have to bring it back to my upbringing. My mother never quite taught us to look beyond anything except who the person is. And after about a year, when I started noticing, yeah, she does have a little bit of an accent when she says certain words, and she does, of course, say, because she did speak Spanish fluently, though she never did to me. So I guess my point being, upbringing, to get out of this stereotype and social stigma, unfortunately, you know, if it could go the way of the dinosaur, it was definitely one of my favorite sayings in the program so far. It's a matter of time, it's a matter of education, and to get the ignorance away, and part of starting that would be taking away only scholarships for a certain race or a certain color, and making it available to anybody that can strive and be academically superior in order to get a race benchmarks for money. That's one thing the government could do to start making the assumptions and the stereotypes to be removed. It's just one small thing I'm thinking right off the top of my head.
Well, Jerry, stay with us, because again, this is a chance for us to examine our thoughts through more questions. Chris Phillips?
Jerry, do you have children?
I do not.
If you do someday have children, how would you bring them up? What would you try to teach them about race?
Super question. I've had that discussion with my wife many times. First and foremost, we're American. We were born in this country. This is, of course, a wonderful melting pot, but they're going to be American with specific descent. That is going to be very, very important. I also, belief and spiritual values are also going to coincide with that and not have anything to do with race. Though I think culture, and I heard this a lot, is very, very important to understand their background and their ancestry. Maybe not who they are today, because they're going to evolve into who they are as they grow up, but who their ancestors are, I think, are a very powerful meaning, how good they were, what they did, what they've achieved in their nationality and such.
Do you think all racial stereotyping is necessarily bad?
Oh, absolutely not. I don't think it's bad at all. Mm-hmm. I think the assumption that the stereotype could be positive or negative is how the individual understands it. That could be the bad. And that has a lot to do with maybe either their experiences or their education. So, no, stereotyping is great. Because I tell you, strangely enough, I played basketball for quite a number of years, and a very tall black man was the center, and I was his backup. And the assumption was he could kick my butt anytime.
Now, you had mentioned that your old girlfriend was Puerto Rican.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering, what race is she?
You know, we never had deep discussions, unfortunately, like that. But I can tell you, my guess today is if she would say she is Puerto Rican.
Is that a race?
You know what? I don't think so. I mean, I think it's a culture, for sure. I think it's a nationality in itself, because they have their own individual pride, their own individual flag, of course. And it really depends on the person. And unfortunately, if we don't start respecting the individual and their thought process, rather than assuming the stereotype before we talk to them, that's where we tend to get into trouble.
Well, Jerry, thank you. This is great. Thanks for calling today. All right, bye-bye. I don't want to go to Manchester next, where Amir has been waiting. Hi, Amir. Thanks for hanging on. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me on. I love your show, Sarah. And I just want to make a comment. I mean, how can I say this? But you know, I'm coming from, originally I'm from Bosnia, and bad things happen to people over there, and I never ever, you know, I don't think it's worth the while that race should matter. And for me, the most important thing, you know, I'm a practicing Muslim, and for me, the most important thing to be a Muslim before anything. And because somehow we didn't choose the land there to be born, we didn't choose the color of the skin, you know, but I chose to be, you know, Muslim. And for example, in the mosque where we pray, I have brothers from Somalia, from Kenya, from America, from Germany, from Albania, Bosnia, everybody, and the race really never comes up. You know, we talk about our cultural background, you know, about everything, but really the race never matters, you know.
In the mosque, everybody is of all different
everybody's brothers, that's it. Simple as that.
That's very interesting. I remember a friend of mine, the late Alex Haley, when he wrote the autobiography. biography of Malcolm X, and when he went to the, Malcolm X went to the Middle East, yeah. he mentioned there was an epiphany to him that Muslims did not look at each other at all based on skin color. There was no racial discrimination. It wouldn't have even occurred to them to look at one another that way.
Yeah, that's still true.
But you chose to become a Muslim.
Yes. I chose to be dressed as a Muslim, I know a lot of Muslims, Muslims by name, but they really don't pray 5 times a day, they drink alcohol, they do drugs, they do this and that, but, I chose to live by the Quran and Muslim like that.
And was that appealing to you for one reason, because of the fact that they're blind to matters of race?
Yeah, that was a big plus, yeah, because, Islam solved that problem at the beginning, At the beginning, if you look at the Islam, history of Islam, we had scholars from Africa, scholars from Persia, from Europe, from all around, and they're all brothers, really, the names of the race never matter. And, we are all equal, We are all, like you say in my country, we're all from blood and bones, and inside you're all the same, And we didn't choose where to be born,
And to Marlo, where Brian's on the phone. Welcome, Brian. You're on the Socrates Cafe. Go ahead.
Hello, thank you. I'll just start off with saying I am mixed race. I'm part Native American and part Irish Gypsy. But I am very, very white-skinned for my father. And I have noticed that I kind of blend in and out of races. And what I mean by that is, from my work experience, I'm a temp worker in a lot of factories. And I'll notice I'll get hired because I'm this white male, and instantly I'm in the factory. But the white workers will kind of shun away from me. But the Hispanic or the Asian or the African American workers will always flock to me, especially like at lunchtime. And it just makes me wonder that there must be like a seed to race that people will notice underneath, no matter what skin color you come out as.
So should race matter, Brian? That's the question. What do you think?
I don't think we can get away from it if people can see beyond the skin and categorize people that way. I don't think there's a way to get away from it much.
So, Brian, if there's no way to get away from it, then how should race matter, ideally?
I think ideally it shouldn't be as categorized or as, I was going to say villainized more. Because I just witnessed about 2 weeks ago, now this is speaking from my gypsy heart side, a poor man who's living in a small mobile home now, a small RV. He's just going from one town to the next. And the town I was in, this man just got there maybe 2 days before. The town officials mobilized to get him tossed out of town. They didn't want him camping and staying in their town. I'm thinking, this is, just a man who happens to be poor and living in a small home. It just happens to be mobile, and all of a sudden now he's a villain and has to be driven out.
Was he of a different race, Brian, than the majority?
I did not meet him personally, so I could not tell exactly if he was a different race or not. But I think it gets to a point there, if you're not part of the ideal white pillars of the society, then you're automatically categorized off.
Well, John, Brian, thank you for calling in today. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye. And let's go next to Gilmanton, where Michael is on the air. Michael, thanks for calling in on the Socrates Cafe. Go ahead.
And thanks for the discussion you're having. I think it's really helpful and very valuable. I appreciate all you're doing. On the other hand, I have to tell you that I think this race discussion is really old school. And the reason I tell you that is this. I am a proud father of twin 5-year-old biracial boys. They attend a school where there is what we call a Negro and white father and mother child. And they attend a school where one child has 2 mothers. And my children descend from the Manchu dynasty in China and from British and Italian inheritance. And nobody cares. Nobody cares.
Yes, go ahead, yeah.
So, Michael, it sounds like you're distinguishing old school notions of race versus what you would call this school's new school notions of race. And nobody cares. How did that come to be?
It's a wonderful story. It's a magic intelligence. When we have marriage, like with Asians and Americans, the marriage takes like 2 weeks. And my father-in-law, who is Manchu from China, said to my wife, "Are you going to have children?" And she said, "Well, I don't know." He said, "Oh, too bad, because the mixed race children are really beautiful children." And the last night of our honeymoon, while he was still in the air, literally flying back to China, we got pregnant. And now, 5 years later, we have the most wonderful gift of beautiful, handsome, healthy, smart, kind children, biracial children. Who cares what their race is? Of course we teach them history.
Well, Michael, can I ask you this? What about, there was a caller earlier on, Cynthia, who said that we should care about race, but not in a way that denigrates. We should care about where people come from and what their story is and what their heritage means.
We teach them their history. We teach them their culture. I'm mixed race myself, part Native American, part European. My wife is part Manchu and part Han Chinese. We do teach them the history, and we value it.
Okay.
But, as far as any kind of problem, all those kids in that school, they're going to a wonderful school, and the kids are all mixed up. Who cares?
So should race matter, Michael? You say?
It should matter in terms of understanding your heritage, understanding your history, but in terms of day-to-day, I think 20, 30 years from now, we would never be having this conversation because, person is half this, half that, they're healthy, they're smart, they're kind to people. Who cares?
Well, Michael, you got the last word today.
Very good.
Thank you for joining us.
And thank you for all you did.
All right. Bye-bye. Chris Phillips, thank you very much for joining us today. Final thoughts from you based on the calls that we got this morning.
Well, we should have the show again and on the same question in 30 years and see if what Michael says is becomes a reality.
All right. Well, Chris, thank you very much for your time this morning. And I want to let everyone know that you and I will be doing this again in June, on June 9th, and you'll be here live in studio. So
that's
right. All right, Chris. All right. Bye-bye for now. Thanks. That's Chris Phillips again. He's our guest and co-host for the Socrates Cafe series. And although we end this conversation now on the air, it continues for the next few weeks on the Socrates Cafe page on our website, nhpr.org. Now, it's our goal to have these discussions last all month, so if you're listening and didn't get a chance to be on the air this morning, post a comment and or respond to others who have already posted. Also, the next Socrates Cafe will be on Tuesday, June 9th. The question Chris and I will ponder with you is, what is good art? As the series continues, though, you can help us decide what other questions we should examine. Send your ideas to the Socrates Cafe page at nhpr.org. And once again, you can also post your comments relative to today's conversation. We'll keep this discussion running all month long. Again, it's nhpr.org. Special thanks for today's show go to Regina McCarthy at the University of New Hampshire, Manchester, as well as the students we heard from earlier in our produced piece, Phil Hernandez, Joe Thomas, and Kirsten Hildeman. The Exchange is a production of New Hampshire Public Radio. The producer is Dan Akelis, and the engineer is Dan Colgan. Our volunteer is Priscilla Malcolm. Our theme music was composed by Bob Lord. The Exchange's executive producer is Keith Shields, and I'm Laura Kanoi.
Thank you.
program where